This morning, one thing I want to talk a little bit about is a question that's probably been asked for many hundreds of years. I'm sure it's nothing new, it's nothing we hadn't heard before, but you know, the question has been asked for several years is who will be saved? You know, and that you go around and you ask that question and you can get a lot of different answers. You wouldn't think that you would, but there's a lot of answers out there to that question. You know, as I said, for several hundreds of years, I'm sure that question's been asked. It's not the first time. And I'm sure we've heard a lot of answers to it, and it's been explained a lot of different ways. But this morning, it's one of the things we're going to look at. You know, if you go out and you talk to people and you ask people, and you know, you get, as I said, different answers. You know, there's those that believe that everyone's going to be saved in the end. You know, and you have some that, as we know, don't even acknowledge God altogether, so they think no one's going to be saved in the end. But, of course, we know that's not the case. Yes. This morning, we're going to kind of look for ourselves. You know, if you study the Bible and you look into this, it doesn't take very long, really, to answer that question. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, that's kind of a complicated question, but to me, it's kind of plain once you get to looking and studying in the Bible and get a knowledge of the things that Jesus has told us. It's not really that complicated at all. You know, we're going to look this morning, we're going to look at some things about, you know, maybe who will be saved, and we're also going to look at a few verses and things to back up those things about who will be lost also. You know, the Bible, it gives us the answer to both those questions if we look and study a few scriptures. Let's look over in Matthew to get started. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and there is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So right there, he tells us that, you know, there'll only be a few that find it. You know, that kind of takes out the ones who think that everyone's going to be saved, or that the majority of people are going to be saved. He says there that only a few will find it. You know, only a few are going to enter in. So once again, as I said, you know, it doesn't take very long. Two verses right there, and we've wiped out some of those conceptions and some of those things that you hear and some of the things that people think. You know, so some of those are already gone just in two verses that we've read this morning. If we go on, you know, one of the ways that the Bible teaches us that we will be lost is if we're separated from God by sin. You know, the Bible teaches us that, you know, sin is something that God basically can't stand, something He doesn't want to see. And when we sin in our lives, it separates us from Him. You know, that's another one of the simple things that we know can separate us from God and cause us to be lost is sin in our lives, if we allow that sin to stay there. You know, every person who has ever lived has sinned. You know, that don't come from me. I don't want anyone thinking I'm calling you a sinner this morning. That comes from God. You know, He put it here in the Scripture for all of us. Romans 3 and verse 23. We'll turn over and read that verse this morning. Romans 3 and verse 23. He says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know, that didn't leave out any of us. He said all. That's all of us. you know, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As we know, we've talked about sin, I'm sure, several times. Y'all have, preachers have. I know back home, you know, that's one of the things that we stress on a lot is sin and sin in our lives. But, you know, sin is basically doing things in our lives that are against God and against His will. You know, we do things that He tells us not to do. We neglect sometimes to do things that He tells us to do. You know, all those things are sin. You know, so when we sin and we have sin in our lives, you know, that separates us from God. You know, I've often thought, you know, when you think about it, and you think about God and us being His children, you know, you think about some of the things that He has to watch these days in this world. At all the things that He has to look at, you know. I can't imagine that it's easy for Him to look down and see all the things that goes on in this world, you know, all the sin in this world. You know, He gives us warnings all in the Bible about those things. You know, He doesn't just leave it at they're calling it sin. You know, He gives us warnings and tells us to stay away from those things. He warns us all through the Bible. Let's look back over into the Old Testament in Isaiah. Isaiah in chapter 59. Let's begin reading in verse 2. Isaiah chapter 59, we're going to begin reading in verse 2. He says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." You know, that was in the Old Testament, as we know. But, you know, how much of that do we see today in the world? You know, how much of that still goes on? You know, sin now is basically the same sin that was going on hundreds and thousands of years ago. No, it hasn't changed. Maybe our perception on it nowadays has changed a little, but it's all still the same. It's basic sin. You know, and as long as He tells us there in verse 2 that our iniquities have separated between you and your God. You know, sin, as we've said, that's what it does to us. It separates us. Puts a separation between us and God. You know, and as long as we continue to allow that separation in our lives and continue to allow that to exist, you know, He's told us that, you know, we're in dangerous territory. You know, we're not striving for the things we should be. And if we're not careful, eventually it'll lead to eternal separation from God. Let's look back over into Romans. Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. We're going to read verse 23 there. Chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So He doesn't, to me, He doesn't leave that window open or leave any gray area there. He tells us that the wages of sin is death. You know, or as we already discussed, an eternal separation from God. You know, not just death, but also an eternity in hell. If we don't do something about the sin in our lives, you know, and get it out so we can draw closer to God instead of being continue to be separated. You know, so, and another just few verses there, we've already kind of looked at some of those who will be lost. You know, those who sin and continue to sin. But, you know, one of the main one is those who fail to know God at all. Those won't be saved either. If we don't have failed to even acknowledge God at all, then we don't stand much of a chance in the beginning. You know, some of these other little things really don't matter if we don't have a knowledge of God and understand Him and accept Him. Let's look over in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, we're going in chapter 1, beginning verse 8. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 8. He says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." So as we just talked about, you know, he says, those that know not God, you know, those who don't acknowledge Him, those that continue to keep a deaf ear on Him, that don't hear Him, and don't understand Him, don't want some people in this world that don't want anything to do with Him. If you notice there, he gives us a couple categories in those couple of verses of those who will not be saved. He said, those who know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a couple that he gives us right there. He says, those that know not God, and in order to know God, we must come to a knowledge of Jesus. You know, they go together. We have to know them both, and we have to have a knowledge of both in order to be saved. Let's look on over into John, or back into John, maybe. I'm sorry, back into John in chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 18. He says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." You know, Jesus has declared who God is to us today. No one can come to know God except through Jesus. You know, and in order to draw close to God, you know, we do it through Jesus Christ. We do it through His blood. We do it in having a knowledge of Him, and having a knowledge of Him also draws us closer to God. You know, they kind of go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. So while we're there in John, let's turn over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, we're going to read verse 6. He says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, basically, he tells us there that no one will be able to enter heaven except for those couple of ways. Starts with those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, and we have to follow His example. You know, he says, no man can come to the Father except through him. We have to have a knowledge of him. Let's look back over to where we originally started, back over to 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. Let's go back over to 2 Thessalonians. Let's go back to, we were in chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 8 and 9. You know, there's one more way there that in order to know the ones who will be lost, there's another way there that we didn't discuss while we were there this morning. Let's look back in verse 8. He says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, those who obey not the gospel. Now we know, and we've heard it many a times, we know what the gospel is. We know what we must do in order to obey the gospel. You know, and I didn't put it down on the list for no particular reason. But, you know, it is probably the most important. You know, in order to be saved, we have to start there. You know, that's our starting spot. We have to obey the gospel. If we hadn't obeyed the gospel, then these other things really don't matter that much. You know, they're not that important unless we obey the gospel. You know, we have to do that in order to even have a chance. And we all know that. We all heard it back home. We've got a little sign that Brother David McMichael had made up when he came over and held a meeting a couple of years back. And we still have that on our board today. It's a list of how to obey the gospel. We have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Let's look over into Acts. Acts in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verse 38. He says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, this is God's plan, you know, and this is his plan for our salvation. And in order to be saved, in order to know that we have a chance to be saved, we have to follow his plan. We have to continue to follow his plan. You know, this, some of the things that I've said this morning, and as I said, the gospel that we've just talked about, once again, you know, that's been there for hundreds of years. That's not something that I just come up with this morning, by no means. It's not something we just come up with over the last 100 years. It's been there. You know, and that's his plan. It's the same plan for salvation that the apostles taught, you know, thousands of years ago. So it hasn't changed. I'm sure some of these things, same words and same verses or same things that the apostles has told people, as I said, thousands of years ago. It doesn't change. There's so many things that man today tries to change. You know, they even try to take the Bible scriptures and change them to fit their needs. But, you know, we can't do that. You know, we have to follow them the way that he's laid them out for us. We can't twist them and turn them for our gain and to help us. Let's look over into Galatians. Galatians in chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, we're going to begin reading verse 8. He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. there's only, as we've been talking about, one way. You know, there's one plan of salvation. There's one gospel. And we know that those who don't obey that gospel, as we've said, will be lost. You know, and not only do we have to obey that gospel, but we have to remain faithful Christians. Good thing that we have such a forgiving God. Or we would probably all at one time or another be in trouble. But He is forgiven, and He will forgive us. You know, there are those that we know that have an opportunity to be saved. And hopefully we went over a few things this morning that will help with that question. You know, we have those who have turned away from sin, or have come to know God and His Son Jesus Christ. And then those who obey the gospel. And as we just talked about, those who remain faithful. You know, as we talked about to begin the sermon, you know, a lot of times people twist these things and complicate them. But, you know, it only takes a few scriptures to look and to know and to understand. It's not a complicated system. God didn't make it complicated. It's simple. You know, and as I mentioned a while ago, you know, it's the same message that's been preached forever. You know, and it's the way to know and to have an understanding of God. Here a couple of weeks back, I had a lesson back home. I did it right after the first of the year. We talked a little bit about New Year's resolutions and those kind of things. And I got to looking at it and never really thought about it. You know, when this year started, we had 8,760 hours in this year. I realize we don't have quite as many now since we're almost a month into it, but that's how many hours we had to start this year. And have you ever kind of looked up and figured and how many of those hours we'll spend here in church? I kind of looked it up, and if you think about it, it's not very many. It's 130 of those hours we'll spend. And that's if we give Him an hour and a half on Sunday morning, an hour on Wednesday night. You know, that's how much time we'll spend on Him. Out of those 8,760 you have this year, some, that's all we'll give Him. Now that's not counting maybe lunches after service and those kinds of things that we do, try to do once a month back home. But, you know, that's just actual church service that we give Him. And the rest of those hours we spend somewhere else, doing other things. Sometimes we spend those hours doing things we shouldn't. You know, usually, as I told them back home, I'm guilty of spending some of those hours in that recliner at the house. You know, I just wanted to share that with you this morning because I had never really thought about it until I figured that up and thought about it. You know, it's really not very much time to give Him, is it? You know, that's a drop in the bucket considering what we have this year and what we'll give Him and what time we'll serve Him. So this morning, if you're here and maybe you're not sure, you know, maybe you're not positive that you've been on the right track, there's always time now to get that straightened out, to get those things changed. You know, we're big back home talking about that, you know, we're not guaranteed anything other than this service. And right now, when we leave out through the door, nothing's guaranteed anymore. So, if you're here this morning, you'd like to become a Christian, or maybe you've been a Christian and strayed back into the world and need to come back and ask God for His forgiveness. We want to give you the opportunity to do so in either way as we stand and sing the song selected.